Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Barbara Amazing Grace Reynolds, and this is the show, Get the Answers to Life's Questions, a show that was created so that you'd have a place to ask those questions that you have about your life and get the answer that your guidance has for you, the answers that can actually help you to make those changes that you want to make in your life. So if you have questions about your life, and you want to know what your guidance wants to tell you about it, then give me a call. The number is 646-716-5045. That's 646-716-5045. So today's show is supposed to be about violence. Now, when I was looking at the title, the only thing that really popped into my mind about violence is the word fear. That's what creates violence. That's why we become violent, because we are afraid. We are afraid of someone or something, and in order to prove that we are in control, we strike out. So whenever anyone is being violent, you know that they're actually afraid, that that is the deeper emotion that is running. And they are expressing that fear through violent actions. And really, that makes sense when you think about it. I mean, even the things that we watch on TV when someone is, you know, shooting at someone or shooting back at someone, it's because they're afraid that they're going to be killed or caught or whatever it is that they're running from. They're afraid that it's going to happen. And so they fight back. And there's the violence. And that also makes, you know, whenever guidance is talking about something in your life and you wanting to change it, they always tell you don't fight. And so knowing that the fighting is coming from the fear makes sense of that, because if you fight something, you're actually afraid of it. You're actually feeding it the fear energy. And that's why they encourage us to release things, to let them go, to just surrender, because then you're not giving any of the energy to the fear. What we're afraid of and what we fight against the hardest is what we keep feeding. It's what grows larger and larger in our lives. Like someone who had an issue with anger and they decided to release the issue by beating up everyone that they saw. You know, would it actually release the anger, or would it just intensify it? Would it make it a more prominent part of their lives? It would certainly contribute to them ending up in jail. But we often fight things instead of embracing them, recognizing them, making a decision about whether or not we actually want those beliefs, those thoughts within ourselves. And it's when we release those beliefs, those thoughts, that we actually make a difference, that we are actually changing our lives. Because then we're not feeding the fear. We're releasing what we don't want. So just think about that the next time you are feeling a violent tendency or seeing someone who is doing something violent. I find it interesting as I go along my spiritual path, you know, there are some things that just don't appeal to me the way they used to. And you know, I was married to a man that really loved those action movies with all the violence and the bombings and all of that other stuff. And I can't really remember the last time I watched anything like that because it doesn't call to me. It doesn't speak to me. I prefer movies and television that's either funny or a little on the verge of being philosophical. Don't go deeply philosophical on me because I'll change the channel. You know, it's like someone gave me a book on psychology explaining all the beliefs of Freud. I would not open that book. I'm not looking for those kinds of answers. I'm looking for a deeper understanding of me and my connection with God, the universe, the divine, whatever name you want to use. But I'm looking to understand how I can change me, how I can open up to the truth of me, how I can experience more of the love and light and wonder and joy and abundance and all of those great things in my own life. I'm not looking to psychoanalyze myself. I did go through a period in my life, you know, where I was really into psychology and all of the theories of this, that, and the other. But that was in the past, and I'm not there anymore, and that's not who I am. Now, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong if that's where you are. It's your choice. And we all, as we move along our path, whatever path it is we've chosen, we change. And so it's perfectly normal and natural for the things that you found absolutely intriguing in the past to hold no interest for you now because you have changed. So just think about the fact that anytime you are seeing or part of violence, it is connected with fear. It is generated by fear. If there was no fear, there would be no violence. Because when you are in one of those states of pure, unconditional love, violence doesn't cross your mind. There's nothing for you to be violent about. There's nothing for you to protect or protect yourself from. There's no need for the violence. We've all seen, you know, these pictures or images of people who are just sitting and being while things around them are just completely and totally in turmoil. You know, it's like the sit-ins that they used to do where they would sit peacefully. And the police would come in and grab them up and drag them off. And the people wouldn't fight. And there were some people who were always like, well, I would fight. I wouldn't let them just drag me away. But those people didn't want to buy into the fear. They wanted to be in the energy of the love. And so they didn't fight. They surrendered. We have a lot of institutions, is what I'll use, that are created from fear. I mean, There's all the police forces, which are there to protect you, but you only need protection if someone's actually out to get you. Because if everyone was coming from that pure unconditional love, you wouldn't have anyone you needed to be protected from. So all of the police forces are created out of fear. The government's created out of fear. Fear that if they aren't in control, that's why they fight so hard in these elections to decide who's going to be in control. If they aren't in control, then things could happen that they wouldn't like. And so they fight. Although they call it an election, it's really a battle. And you've watched campaigns, you've seen that it's a battle. So they fight to maintain their control. Most schools have a strong element of fear in them, afraid that, the students are not going to meet the national standards when they take the test. A lot of teachers are actually afraid of their students. Some students are afraid of their teachers. There's a lot of that fear-based stuff going on in so much of our lives. I was having a conversation with a wonderful relative of mine the other day, and I don't generally talk about God or religion with my relatives, especially the older ones, because they were raised in these southern churches, where they have these strongly held beliefs about what's right and what's wrong, and you must read the Bible, because if you don't read it, you're going straight to hell. And so I was talking with this wonderful relative of mine, and I told them that I didn't believe in hell. And they were extremely upset about that. They told me that I was going to, what was it? They were going to pray for my eternal soul so that I didn't end up in hell. Now, when I asked them, explain to me how, if God is pure, unconditional love, which they agree God was, and if God is everywhere, which they agree God was, why would God want to be in hell? And it was at that point that the disconnect happened, because then they were like, well, God's not in hell. And I would go back and say, but you said God is everywhere. And they said, yes, God is everywhere. And I said, then why would God want to be in hell? And again, God doesn't want to be in hell. God's not in hell. God created hell for the fallen angels and Lucifer. And I was like, but God's in them too. No, God's not. Then how do they exist? Because if God is not a part of them, they are not in existence. Because God is the essence of life. God is in everything and everyone. There is no separation between anything and anyone and God. It's impossible. And they would agree with me on that. And then I would say, well, then why on earth would God want to be in hell? And again, they would just go off and say, God's not in hell. God's not going to be in hell. You would be in hell because you don't follow the words of God. And that would bring us to a completely different part of the discussion. Because for me, God is pure, unconditional love, which means there's absolutely nothing that I could ever do, or I could ever say, or I could ever be that would stop that love. Which means that God doesn't see right or wrong. So why would God want to punish me when God doesn't see that I've done anything to be punished for? And again, there was that disconnect because people have beliefs. These beliefs are things that they've heard over and over and over and over again, and they have accepted them as the truth. They are not based in logic. They are based in repetition. And when you start asking someone who has these strong beliefs about any subject, but particularly about the religion and the Bible and all of that, and you ask them to give you an answer based in logic, they can't do it because they're not talking from logic. They're talking from their beliefs. They're talking from what they've heard over and over in their lives, what they have accepted as true, even if it's not true. And so the conversation ended with this wonderful person saying that they were going to pray for me, for God to bring me clarity. And I said, and I'm going to pray that God brings you some clarity too. And I think that irritated them more than anything else that I had said, because it clearly showed that my beliefs did not match theirs and that I was okay with it. And I think it was the fact that I was okay with it that bothered them the most, because they have spent their entire lives trying to live up to what they had been told, what they had been taught about God, about religion, about living right, and all of those other things. And that had been the deciding factor in so many instances in their life. They had done so much simply because they believed that it was the right thing in the eyes of God. And here I was saying that you can do whatever you want and God's still going to love you. And they really, really, really had a problem with that. Because that just takes away the validity of their own beliefs, the validity of their own choices. And we don't want to look at our lives and realize, okay, I've done this. I've done everything the way that I was supposed to do. I followed every single rule. And you reach the end and someone says, well, you didn't have to follow the rules. And it makes you angry. It makes you angry at yourself. It makes you angry at them. It makes you angry at the people who wrote the rules. You know, it makes you angry at all of that, because then you're afraid that you didn't get it right. For me, I can't get it wrong, because I am simply being who I am being. And no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter how I am behaving, God still loves me. And see, that gives me that sense of freedom that I've always wanted to have in my life. It's like finding what I've always been looking for and realizing that the answer really was within me. It always was. And I didn't need to be looking out there. So if you are one of those people who tends to be prone to violence, look at what you're afraid of, because that's the key to letting go of the violence, to letting go of the anger, of all of those negative emotions that we feel. Because the underlying emotion in every case is fear. Because you're either in love or you're in fear. And we've taken fear and we've given it 1,001 different names. But that still doesn't break the connection. Just like we've taken love and we've given it a lot of different names too. Well, the joy and the bliss and the freedom and the abundance, that's all love. Just different names for it. So really it comes down to two choices that we are always making. We are either choosing love or we are choosing fear. Because there's no ground in between the two of them. When you really want to change your life, releasing those old beliefs, those are your stepping stones. Your stepping stones to the changes that you want to live, the changes that you want to experience. So looking at your beliefs and then deciding whether or not you actually want to keep them is one of the fundamental ways of changing your life. There are so many things that we We make so complicated. Let's say you wanted to lose weight. Okay. So you get on this program. And the program says you can eat these particular foods at these particular times. And any other times, you're not allowed to eat any foods at all. You can drink as much water as you want to. And you can have some other beverage, you know, at these particular intervals. And you have to do your exercises. And you have to follow the exercise regime. And if you do this and follow every single step in this program exactly as it is written, then in 21 days, you will have the body of a superstar. And so many people believe that that is true. They believe that if they get this program, follow this program exactly as it is written, then in 21 days, they will be this supermodel type person. And most people can't stick with these programs for longer than a week. And one of the reasons why you can't stick with them is because you have these beliefs about yourself. If you have a belief that says you are overweight, then everything you do to be that supermodel is fighting that belief. So you really do become your own worst enemy. And it's that with most of these programs where, you know, if you follow my easy examples, then you will blah, blah, blah. Work at releasing the beliefs. It is by changing the underlying beliefs that you can see a difference in your life. Because as long as you are hanging on to those old beliefs, then it's like you're doing this battle. A part of you is saying, this is the truth for me. And another part of you is saying, this is the truth for me. And they don't match. And so how can you win? Because you're actually fighting yourself. I hope that made sense. Okay, let's go to the caller from area code 786. Hi, who's this?
My name is Samantha.
Hi, Samantha. What can I do for you?
I really would like to know what your insights about a love relationship, if possible.
Okay. So you have a very okay, I can't think of words today. Okay, your energy around this particular aspect of your life is very suppressed, very contained. What are you so afraid of about love?
Well, I have been hurt. I mean, most people have. I lost a partner that I was with and I loved him very much, and he passed away. And in this current relationship, this person that I thought was a good person just ended up really hurting me. So, I mean.
Okay. So this is one of those cases where there is a part of you that really wants to have someone in your life, someone that you can love and who will love you, but then there's also a part of you that doesn't want to step out there again, doesn't want to take a chance of being hurt, doesn't want to go through all of that sadness, that agony.
Yes.
And so you have conflicting parts. Okay, that explains your energy. So would you like to do some work on letting go of those old beliefs about you have to get hurt if you're in love and all of that other stuff that's playing in the background so that you can actually look forward to having a relationship. Right now, you wouldn't really be attractive to most of the people that you would want to have in your life because your energy is so smushed down.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how they want to clear that. So we're going to do some infinity healing. So we are now activating the infinity healing energy, and if you would like to receive it, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, and just take a nice deep breath. So would you like an infinity healing for releasing the walls that you have built around your own heart? If so, say yes.
Yes.
And take two nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for allowing your heart to heal, to know that it really is okay for you to love, and that love does not have to be painful? If so, say yes.
Yes.
And take two nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for recognizing the good that has come out of your past relationships so that you know it's not just a matter of the hurt, the pain, the agony, but there were also good things, good memories, good experiences, lessons where you learned wonderful things about yourself? If you'd like that, say yes.
Yeah.
Two nice deep breaths. How would you like an infinity healing for releasing the false belief that falling in love means losing control? If so, say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for accepting the truth that you deserve to be loved, that you are wonderful, that you are a beautiful, loving being, and you deserve to have someone in your life who loves you and adores you exactly as you are? If so, say yes.
Yes.
Three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for opening up your heart to loving yourself, to recognizing your value, to really, truly accepting you exactly as you are right now? If so, say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for allowing your light to shine, allowing you to go out there in the world and to radiate the love that is within you so that you are attracting to you someone else who is just as loving, just as wonderful as you are? If so, say yes.
Yeah.
And three nice deep breaths. Okay, I want you to think about having a loving relationship. How does it feel to you now?
It feels wonderful. So safe.
Yeah, you've got a lot more energy in you now. Oh, that's much better. Okay, let me see if there's anything else that they want us to clear. Would you like an infinity healing for forgiving? Forgiving those that you have loved in the past who have left you or betrayed you or hurt you or done anything that was considered negative. If you'd like that, say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep, deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for releasing any false beliefs you have that say that you cannot have someone who is going to be wonderful to love you, that you cannot have someone who is going to absolutely adore you and think you are the most beautiful person on the face of the earth, that there's any belief inside of you that says you don't deserve this? Would you like for the infinity healing to just remove that from your life right now? If so, say yes. And three nice deep breaths. Okay, so now they're showing me an image of this really happy, smiling person who is going to be coming into your life real soon. It's like they're right there. So do things that you enjoy doing, things that make you smile, things that make you feel good. Because when you are in that kind of energy, then that's the kind of energy that you are attracting to you. And this person looks like a very happy person. So if you are out there being happy, he's going to see you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
And do something fun today. Think of something that you can do that is just considered play. Nothing practical about it whatsoever. It is just play. And go do it. Okay? Okay. Thank you for calling, Samantha. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye. You too, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
When we are coming from that energy of love, when we are allowing that love in our lives, it makes such a difference. If you think about the people that you know and the ones that you actually enjoy being around, those are the people that are open. Those are the people that are loving. Those are the people that are living life. People who are angry, fearful, violent, they're closed off. They're like a closed fist. They're always protecting themselves. They're always looking for what's wrong, expecting something to pop up that's going to hurt them or hurt you or hurt somebody. They're always watching the news to validate their beliefs in fear, in aggression, in violence. That's a choice. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these people. They're just making a different choice than I make. And I do have people in my life who are much more fear-based than I am. And I imagine there are times when I really get on their nerves because I tend to just have a good time and to laugh. And when they want to be all serious, but that's okay. They are making their choices and I am making mine. And I do not have to be the way that they are choosing to be, just like they don't have to be the way I am choosing to be. We each always are making our own choices. So when you are looking at your life, when you are looking at what it is that you are creating, decide whether or not it's right for you, anybody else, because you're not living your life for anybody else. You're living your life for you. And sometimes that's difficult for us to do because we really are taught that it's so important for us to do what's right for everybody. And that's so much pressure we put on ourselves. Sometimes I'm not sure how we ever actually get up in the morning. We have so much pressure that we put on ourselves to be right, to always do what's right, to always say what's right, take care of everything. Okay, well, my phone makes me off. I think it's because I'm using the Wi-Fi connection, and even though the phone is designed to use Wi-Fi connection, it pitches a fit. I don't know why the option is on the phone instead of the program to accept. But that was me. That wasn't anybody else. My phone decided to drop the call. Okay. Now I completely and totally lost my train of thought. So one of the things that I'm doing now on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. is I'm doing a show called Morning with Jesus with a beautiful woman called DC Love, who's one of the guests on the second Friday of every month. And we did the show this morning, and the energy in that show is just phenomenal. I'm one of those people that was raised in the Protestant church. And I say the Protestant church instead of a particular church because my father was in the military and we went to the Protestant chapel. So we had ministers from all of the different Protestant faiths, but we were just considered Protestants. Okay. And so a Protestant, of course, is into Christianity. And I always had an issue with what I was taught about Jesus. For a long time, I didn't particularly like him. I thought it was extremely unfair, you know, that he was going to ruin my life by coming again, that I was being held up to this perfect example to prove that I was good enough and worthy of going to heaven and all of this other stuff. And, of course, now I realize that that wasn't actually anything that Jesus had taught. That was the stuff that people after him decided that he was supposed to be. Now I can actually have conversations with him and I can channel him, and he'll be the first to tell me that he doesn't want people to be worshiping him. He wants to be seen as an equal. He lived his life to be an example, to show each and every one of us what was possible for us. Not to say that he was better than us, that he was the Son of God and we were beneath him, because he sees each and every one of us as equal to him. And when we are coming from that energy of that pure love, that unconditional love, we have the potential to do everything that he was able to do. And it's taken me a lot of years to reach this point in my life where I'm okay with Jesus. And so doing these shows, this Morning with Jesus, is such an incredibly big step for me. When I was asked to do this, my first reaction was to say no. Although my guidance, even at that moment, was saying you should say yes, and I didn't want to agree with them. I'm glad I did, because these calls are, they really are amazing. the energy in the message that I was channeling from Jesus this morning was pure unconditional love. And I could feel it even more deeply than I'd ever felt it before. So this is part of my evolution, and I realize that now, and I'm really glad of it. So I encourage you all to go to YouTube and, you know, type in Morning with Jesus, and the calls will come up, and to listen to them. And if you don't listen to any of the others, listen to the one from today, just so you can feel that incredible loving energy that was there. That's really the most important thing. When I'm talking with Jesus, that is really his most important thing, that we get the love. He's like, that's the only answer to every question that you have. It's that unconditional love. And when we allow that love back into our lives, back into our hearts, back into our minds, then we make good choices. Because you can't make bad choices when you are coming from that unconditional love. And besides, there is no such thing as good or bad. So you can let go of all of that rigmarole, things, vision of almost like spaghetti, just wrapped around people. They're just all tied up with it. And you can let all of that go. You can stand in your power, in your light, in your love. You can be the truth of who you are. And that's really all that our divine guidance wants for us and from us. They want us to live in love. So when you are having any feelings of violence and turmoil and all of that kind of stuff, realize that you are coming from fear. That is what it's all based in. You're afraid of whatever it is that is different or that might be different. Afraid of change. Because you don't want things to be different, even though sometimes you don't like the way things are. The thought of them being different is something that you fight against. Because even if you're not in a comfortable rut, you are still in your rut. And you don't want to step out of it. The more we open up to love, pure love, the better our lives become. And that really does happen. It really does. When we start living our lives from love, when we start stepping out there from love, when we take chances from love, it opens up so much more for us to live, for us to experience, for us to feel than when we are living that little confined life, living in that little box, walking in that same rut every day and wondering, why is my life so bad? Because you won't allow it to change. And if you don't allow it to change, it's going to stay the same. And if the way it is now is really bad, then if it doesn't change, then you're going to stay in that really bad. And actually, the really bad usually gets really worse. So it's really up to us. It's up to us what we experience, what we feel, and what we let go of. So we have these beliefs about our relationships. And I've known people who have been in relationships with people for years. One of the things that I found really kind of interesting when I lived in North Carolina, and I knew several people who were married, who had been married for 30, 40 years, and hadn't actually lived with their spouse in 20, 30 years. But they never divorced because they didn't want that change. They wanted the security of knowing that that person was going to be there if they needed them, even though they didn't really want to live with them. That's how we hang on to things that are not for our highest good. If you truly love someone and love the relationship, you're not going to spend 20, 30 years living apart from them. And you don't need to stay in a marriage that doesn't work for the children. Because what that teaches the children is really yucky stuff. You know, you're teaching your children to not love themselves, to make other people, other situations more important in their lives than their own hearts, than their own happiness. It's like, how can you teach a child how to have a beautiful, wonderful, successful, amazing life if your life is filled with misery and agony? Kids learn by looking at their parents, looking at the adults in their lives, seeing how they are, not what we tell them. They learn by our examples. So what kind of an example are you setting? What kind of an example are you setting for your friends? Do they look at your life and just shake their heads and go, that poor thing? Or do they look at your life and go, wow, I want to be like her or him? What kind of an example are you setting? We put off our own happiness. And we have a variety of reasons for doing that. And I'm sure every single reason is completely legitimate, although most of them are just not true at all. It's like those wonderful beliefs we have, things that we have heard over and over and over again until we've decided that it's the truth. But it's not true. But it's true. But it's not true. If you want to know what is actually true, then take that belief and apply it to everybody else. And if it's not true for every single one of those people, then it's not true for you. Because the truth is always the truth. Each and every one of us has God within us. That's the truth. You can't find a single person who doesn't have God in them. They may not be willing to recognize the fact that God is within them, but if God wasn't within them, they would not exist. So God has to be there. God has to be everywhere, in everything, in order for it to be. And that includes you. So don't ever think that you're separate, because you can't be. It's impossible. The connection is there. And that's really the reason for a lot of the sayings like, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That's a recognition of the connection. That's saying, if you want people to treat you with love, treat them with love. And one of the things that guidance wants you to recognize is that it's not just a matter of you treating them with love. It's also you that you need to treat with love. Just something you get from other people. It's something that you give to yourself. And it doesn't make you selfish. It just allows you to be centered in your own energy, in your own light, in your own goodness. So if you want to recognize yourself, then love yourself. If you want to have a life that has more love and more peace in it, then have more love and more peace within you. Because of that is where it starts. It's really not out there. It's all inside of you. And in every moment, you are making choices. Choices about what you are going to experience, what you are going to allow, how you are going to change. So tonight is supposed to be the first of the Living Your Passion classes, which is a 6-week course that starts tonight. And it's interesting to me how my life has changed since I was guided to set this class up. And, you know, I figured, okay, whenever I decide to do a class, little things begin to change in my life. But this one is bringing some pretty big changes. One of the big changes is that during the month of November, I'm going to write a book. This wasn't something that I had thought I was going to do before, about a week ago, when I noticed on Facebook about this party, a Halloween party, and it was for a group of people who are part of a website where every November they get together and they write a book and they encourage each other. I didn't even know there was an organization like this. But when I read that information on the party, it was like, you're going to go to this party. And yes, you get to write a book. So now I'm all excited. I have no idea what the book is about. But I'm going to be writing a book. So you can expect to get updates on my book, I guess. I don't know. I just know that it's going to be fun. And I'm actually looking forward to it. I joined a choir for the first time in 20 years because I love to sing, but I wasn't doing it. Now I'm doing it. And I started the Mornings with Jesus after deciding to do the Living Your Passions course. And I did an angel circle on Sunday, which was the first time I've ever done that, where I channeled Mother Mary to this circle of people, and they asked questions, and Mother Mary answered them, and it was an amazing experience, and I love that. You know, it's like I've opened the doors on my own life, and I'm allowing all that beautiful energy to come forth. I'm allowing myself to actually create the things that I've thought about for so long but didn't do, and now I'm doing them. And it just feels so good. And that's what it's like when you are living your passion. Then you are enjoying every moment of your existence. So if you want to sign up for the course, you know, go to my website, divinelyguidedhealing.com, and it's under Infinity Healing Classes. I think that's the tab. I really encourage each of you to start living your passion for real. Because your life can be so much better than you've ever believed it could be. And there is so much potential in you that you haven't even tapped into. And so I am opening up more and more to my own gifts. And it's just interesting to see what's developing. I don't know where all of this is going to lead me. And I'm okay with that because my main goal is to live a life filled with love and freedom. And that's what I'm doing. I'm giving myself permission to actually enjoy my own life. And that's big. That's something that most people don't do. They figure they've got to reach that point where everything is perfect, and then they can maybe do something that they actually enjoy. And so just stepping out there and stepping into whatever it is your heart is calling for you to do, giving yourself that freedom, that's an amazing experience. And I encourage you to allow yourself to experience it. So Friday's show, my guest will be Jules, and Jules has been on before. I think it was last fall, actually. But she's an amazing woman. She's a coach, and she's a healer, and she's just a joy to be with. So I'm sure that anyone who tunes in on Friday will enjoy the show with Jules. If you have any questions for me, you know, you can send them to barbara.healing@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to answer them. And go to YouTube and check out the Morning with Jesus calls. We've had three so far, and they're all posted there, and you can listen to them. You can leave them comments on YouTube. I would really like to know what you get from the calls. I know what I was feeling, but I would like to see what was there for you. So if you want to do that, I'd really appreciate it. And I think that that is pretty much it for today. You know now that if you come from that pure, unconditional love, then violence is not an issue in your life, because violence is always based in fear. And if you are coming from love, there is no fear, so there's no need for the violence. Not for receiving it, not for seeing it, not for being part of it, not for feeling it, because there's no room for any of that when you are filled with that unconditional love. And so I send all of you lots and lots of love. And I hope that you have an absolutely wonderful week, enjoying the fall weather. And I will talk to you again on Friday. Thanks so much for listening. And I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.